Jason Burmis has the power of information.
Today's news talk.
TNT.
So we're gonna get some debates. Now, if you're watching the previous hour, I was kind of tongue-in-cheek joking that maybe they were gonna put out a really nice 3D hologram AI Biden as, you know, we're not gonna have an audience. Like, I just, that is, again, folks, now we're talking about early debates because of early voting, AKA mail-in scamming. Okay, let me repeat that. Mail-in scamming. Then we're not even allowed to have human reactions to the event. Let me repeat that. There'll be no human reaction to the event because, let's face it, the moderators who work for the mainstream media, whether it's Fox, CNN, MSNBC, they're far from human. They're far from, they're like the furthest thing away. They don't have any empathy for anybody. They don't care. They're, the only reaction they have is a blank stare when they get called on their Johnny nonsense, which Vivek Ramaswamy did a good job of. I really did enjoy that. Even if you get those moments, you won't get the oohs and ahs of the crowd unless we get like a COVID 1984 style, like laugh track. Do you guys remember, what was it? It's a terrible show. I absolutely hate it. It's called The Masked Singer. All right. Now, I've never actually watched an episode of The Masked Singer, but as a lot of you guys know, I help take care of my nieces and they absolutely love that. Oh, could it be? We don't, it's all scripted. Everybody knows who the friggin' Masked Singer is, the vehicle for Jenny McCarthy and that Kim Jong guy who walked off when we found out it was Rudy Giuliani. Oh, it's Rudy. Oh, big tough guy. But what they did during the COVID 1984 nightmare is they shot the shows and then they digitally put in an audience that was not there. I mean, they might as well do that for the debates because that's the cartoon level we're at. Now let's talk about third for a second. RFK Jr. 100% deserves to be in these debates and he's not even being discussed. I don't know if they're even gonna take place. They've got two dates set. I mean, what kind of precedents are we setting in this country? And the more I think about it, the more it's just worrisome on every single level. Let's exclude a candidate that is polling at a place he should be included. I want to take people back to another wacky era in American history. It was when Bill Clinton and George Bush were running against each other. And there was this whack Texan, talked really funny, had big ears, got some media attention. He was a billionaire. Gonna run America like a business. Ross Perot. He actually did get on the debate stage. And I'll tell you what, I'll never forget it. There were a lot of adult teachers in my school. I think I was in about fifth grade at the time that openly supported Perot. And they didn't care if they were being told that their vote was wasted. I said, man, I wonder if we're ever gonna get a third party candidate that's able to even overcome more, because you could go and watch those debates. It's a thing called doing your own research. I know it's going to be hard for some people. You don't want to be labeled as a domestic terrorist, white supremacist, anti-Semite, but let's say you want to dare into the realm. You go to C-SPAN right now and you can check out those Ross Perot debates and you ask yourself, who was correct about the future of where America went? Was it Ross Perot? Or was it two sides to the same coin, Billy Boy nose like a vacuum cleaner Clinton, or George, I will deal you cocaine via Iran-Contra Bush? I'm telling you what, it was Ross Perot. I guess I'm biased. But you don't have to be. You don't have to be. You can stand in the light on a holiday weekend like no other with your freedom loving tribe at a Truth Music Festival. With 30 awake artists, including Danny Rampling and Mobius Loop, an all night acoustic fire pit, bouncy castles, and Hope Sussex for the children, plus loads of amazing and scrumptious food vendors. This is an event not to be missed by anyone who's aware of the truth of the world. a Stand in the Park and the Light paper present Stand in the Light, a Truth Music Festival in the beautiful Lake District on May 24th to the 27th. You get 4 days of camping and full access to the whole festival for just £60 and a booking fee. Children under 5 coming free. There is no better bargain anywhere. Visit our website now to make sure you don't miss out on what's going to be a brilliant weekend for the whole freedom loving family. StandInTheLight.uk. StandInTheLight.uk. We will see you there, and we will see you in a moment on the flip talking the headlines with Adam. More TNT after this.
It's the stuff.
It's that division
people are talking about,
and that cluelessness that they want to push.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
American real estate mogul Frank McCourt has revealed that he plans to build a consortium to buy TikTok's U.S. business from its Chinese owners. Here with the story, joining me once again is TNT News producer Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus. Adam, I'm not sure I love this one. I think there was a lot of hype around the TikTokington, and now they'll just be able to label any company as someone that works with China or Russia or a bad person. So you got to sell, sell, sell. We're going to put you out of business anyway. What say you, Adam?
Well, you know, and if you're going to sell, 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 you need someone who's ready to buy, buy, buy. And there's a few people apparently who are interested. And Frank McCourt, the billionaire businessman and real estate mogul, has added his he threw his hat in the ring. He's now been added to the number of investors who are hoping to benefit from the new federal law that requires, they're forced to, they have no choice, TikTok's China-based parent company to sell the popular platform or face a ban. He wants to build what's referred to as a consortium and just buy it. This bid comes after U.S. President Biden signed the law in April, which seeks to force the platform's owner to sell the app or face the aforementioned complete ban, not just any ban, but a complete ban here in the United States. The law gives ByteDance 270 days to divest from its U.S. business. If it fails to comply, TikTok will be banned from app stores serving American customers. ByteDance, which is challenging the U.S. law in court, has said it has no intention of selling the asset. So I guess McCourt's going to be out of luck. Over the past few years, a number of lawmakers here in the U.S. have made claims regarding supposed security breaches and violations by TikTok, which has staunchly denied the allegations. This includes under Trump's administration, by the way, I might add. McCourt, the executive chairman of a family real estate giant, McCourt Global, McCourt Global, and he was also the former owner of the Los Angeles Dodgers baseball team. Well, he says he plans to buy and rebuild TikTok as a, quote, new and better version of the internet, end quote. Yeah, that's what he said. McCourt said in a statement, quote, "We see this potential acquisition as an incredible opportunity to catalyze an alternative to the current tech model that has colonized the internet," end quote. According to the businessman, TikTok presents, quote, "the best and worst of the internet," end quote, by connecting millions of people and allowing them to be creative. That's right, you're allowed to be creative there. He told the Semaphore news outlet, quote, "On the other hand, they don't get to really share in the value that's created, and their data is scraped and stolen and shipped to China," end quote. Thusly, McCourt says he is working with investment bank Guggenheim Securities, legal firm Kirkland & Ellis, and a number of academics and technologists in an effort to prepare what he described as the, quote unquote, people's bid to buy TikTok. He claims the goal would be to migrate the video sharing app to a digital open source protocol. He's got big plans. So I mentioned briefly there that TikTok is suing the U.S. government. In addition to that, recently we've seen 8 TikTok content creators, individuals who have also launched a lawsuit against the United States government. They have challenged this law. The plaintiffs in this case represent a broad group, including a rancher from Texas. Shout out to Texas, who is featured in TikTok ads, a creator from Arizona who advocates for LGBTQ issues, And the business owner who sells skincare products through TikTok Shop. Collectively, they are arguing that TikTok is crucial for their expression, education, advocacy, and livelihoods. I only wonder, Jason, that if a bunch of billionaires in the United States take over, if it's going to get any better for anybody in the long run. But what say you, my friend?
I will say this, okay, when you look at this, we're no longer actually busting up, what, monopolies. That's over. But if you're a company that starts to compete with those monopolies, we'll point fingers and say, China, 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 Russia, 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 you got to sell, sell, sell. So those monopolies, okay, that are contested basically are protected forever. This sets an awful precedent. An awful press. And if you think otherwise, think about what we're saying here. We're already in a multinational world. China owns plenty. Okay. For instance, if you look at the farmland that they own in this country, Smithfield is one of those companies that is owned by China. That doesn't mean they're importing Chinese meat. No, they own the farms here. Okay. No one talked. Aren't you a little bit more concerned about your food if the big bad Chinese are going to get us than whether or not your daughter's twerking 24/7 on a beat to Cardi B? I mean, I think that's more important. You're just being a bad parent. Otherwise, maybe you don't know about the Smithfield connection. But again, this lets them step in on anything. This is going to be total command and control, corporate takeover style. And the idea, like, again, they come at it with benevolence, right? Not only should we break them up, but when I come in there, we're going to make everything open source. It's going to be like a whole brand new internet. When has anything of note stayed open source when it became of note? Let me give you a great example. Google, for instance, one of the powers of Android in the very beginning was not only it was open sourced, but tinkerers like me were encouraged to jailbreak or unlock their devices, do whatever they could to modify them. And things that were total modifications or skins of the software became commonplace and even corporate. I remember the Cinegen mod was a very different type of OS based on Android that actually became a thing. Remember when Facebook tried to launch their own Android phone and it failed miserably because it was basically a skin of Android? That open source stuff, that's donezo. It's only with the collusion between Facebook and Google and their ad partnerships. By the way, we're going to be talking about the lawsuit with Rumble via those partnerships and more coming up with Pasta that this even exists. And again, these big tech companies that also happen to be social media platforms in large part are not able to be sued. So in other words, the monopolies that have been created that are trying to work out these other monopolies by saying they're foreign owned can't be sued in regards to censoring content or business practices that are not fair. You know, take that farmer, for instance, that's selling those devices. If he has the wrong political views, maybe on Facebook, right? He doesn't get the AdSense. Same with Google. Maybe, just maybe, TikTok gives him a better product. That's a competition. That's being shut down. It's being shut down right before our eyes under the guise of fighting communism and free speech. It's the total inverse of that, in my opinion.
Yeah, and what do you think is going to happen to all of those dissenting voices who have been speaking out against war atrocities and things like that? Do you think they're going to have that opportunity under Mr. McCourt here? What's with these darn billionaires? Why are they always got to, like, they're like, oh, I'm going to save the world. I'm going to save the internet. They're all competing to save the internet. I wanted to share this interesting paragraph from Gizmodo, who points that McCourt's rather utopian vision of the internet is not just the ramblings of a billionaire kook. He, Mr. McCourt, created an initiative in 2021 called Project Liberty. Doesn't that sound nice? Which advocates for open internet protocols and has the backing of some big names in the world of technology. Tim Berners-Lee himself, the creator of the internet, is quoted in Semaphore's latest article praising McCourt, saying that he will, quote, embrace the critical values of privacy, data sovereignty, and user mental health, end quote. Are those comments, Jason, or are those tagline slogans for a product? That's what I wonder.
They're a bunch of Johnny nonsense. There is no privacy on the internet. That's been imagination land from the very, very beginning. Only those who are really, I would say, taught in the ways of signature reduction are able to have any type of online anonymity whatsoever. And all these other things about being benevolent and helping them out. And again, they always name it something nice, right? Project Liberty. It's just Bernaysian language and tools. We're going to talk about some of the big tech stuff right here via this book, The New Digital Age, that's a decade plus old. You'll never guess what one of those billionaires, you know, the guy that used to run Alphabet and Google, Eric Schmidt, had to say all those years ago. We're going to talk about that and much more in the next segment. We got Pasta Jardula coming up. You're not going to want to miss it. More TNT after this.
TNT's Patrick Henningsen.
Presidential candidate RFK Jr. apparently has a dead worm in his brain. It's a very strange story. RFK Jr. revealed the condition legal proceedings over a decade ago. I don't know why this is absolutely newsworthy, but anyway, we'll see. Robert F. Kennedy once thought he had a brain tumor, but the dark spot on the scans turned out to be a dead parasitic worm. Listen, it happens. People have this sort of thing. So interesting. New York Times is reporting it, citing legal documents. So I don't know how to basically read this. It can only be read one way, that a story like this that drifts out during an election cycle, it's probably to discredit the candidate. So Robert F. Kennedy running independent. It's not on the Republican ticket, not on the Democratic ticket, not yet on the Democratic ticket. Take note there.
Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk, TNT. CO2 sustains all life on Earth, but now it's in long-term decline. We face the return of an ice age. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I don't know if we face an ice age, but my next guest likes to stay frosty. You can check him out as the better half of the Convo Couch. And, of course, over at the Pasta to Go show, it is Craig Pasta Jardula. And today we're going to be talking about internet censorship and, of course, digital monopolies. I have been a longtime proponent that Google itself is a leviathan of kind of this new thing, a tech monopoly. Just because it is sold on the stock market does not relegate the point that it has military industrial complex contracting all over it, especially in the realm of quantum computing, its partnership with NASA. And then you look at Google. It is the number one search engine in the world. The number two search engine in the world is YouTube, which is also owned by them, and the number one video platform in the world. Android and Chrome combined is the number one operating system on most of your magical devices, from the phone to the Chromebooks out there, now dominating really Windows that used to be in the lead. And it's all under the parent company, Alphabet. Now, in this story, I think Rumble rightfully is suing them for big tech collusion, really making it impossible for them to compete, not only in the area of their platform and their search engine, but their outward collusion with Facebook, who also will not let them monetize in the manner, in other words, buy the same type of ad space everybody else is supposed to and compete with these people. Here to break it down is the man, Craig Pasta Jardula.
Well, I think you broke it down over there just quite lovely, Jason Burmes. And boy, do I got to say, the TNT has got the right guy in you talking about companies like Alphabet out there and, you know, technocratic, you know, geniuses. And well, my question is like, you know, do you have to be a $2.77 billion company like Rumble to sue YouTube? I mean, I think that's the problem itself.
100%
a lot of people are going to get hung up. What's that?
100% you do. Let me say this. You know, you cannot agree with a guy like Mike Cernovich on some of his politics. I think there are certain things that I vehemently disagree with the guy on. But he was one of the first people to point out when he was running Cernovich.com at a pretty heavy clip that he was paying all this money to advertise with them and he wasn't getting the results that he was paying for. And it was clearly on purpose. He did sue them. Now, I'm not sure if they settled out of court or if that lawsuit is continuing, but I think that in some manner, he actually did win. If you look at Alex Berenson, I disagree with a lot of what Alex Berenson has said, even during the COVID-1984 nightmare when a lot of people think he came around. But somehow he successfully sued Twitter into basically giving him some kind of monetary compensation and reinstating his account under an NDA. So it does seem to successfully actually sue them in the public arena. You're going to need billions, but maybe these kind of cults of personality that have a following and some monetary resources are also able to get some results, but those results are buried and they don't represent the rest of us, Pasta.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was trying to make a point that it shouldn't be that way, that you have to have a lot of money to go after these guys, like the little guys like myself who have been demonetized now on YouTube for almost 4 years. You know, I should have the ability to go after them and state my case. You know, I live in the land of free speech. You know, we have so many instances where these tech companies have entered in an agreement with the United States, you know, citizens, public easements of sorts to have their, you know, towers put up using our satellites. You know, they should have to abide by our free speech law. And little guys like me and you, little Joe Schmoes, should also have the ability to go out there and have a right to, you know, have our voice be heard, that we should be protected against censorship, that we shouldn't have to deal with this right now. They've crushed so many small lives and small businesses. That's why I like this TikTok case where you had 8 creators follow behind TikTok and were able to come together to also say and sue the government of the United States and say, if you get rid of TikTok, we're going to sue your pants off. Well, that should be the case here in this situation, because really, to tell you the truth, at the end of the day, Jason, I don't know if I trust Rumble here as if they're fighting for free speech and truth and justice as they kind of market themselves as the free speech platform. Hey, I'm even on Rumble too from all the craziness on YouTube, but I think they're just fighting for their bigger piece of the pie. I mean, there's their talk out there, that rumor that eventually YouTube is just going to simply do what they always do to shut people up, just buy them out to make them go away. So I don't know if the bigger picture should be, it's all about the people out there, right? That we should have transparency because this is the public square. We are the citizens who they've entered into agreements with, and we should be able to have open source algorithms, because that's what it's about, right? It's about keeping their algorithm in the dark so they don't have to show anybody they censor, not just Rumble. And that's the bigger point right here that we need to point out, Jason.
Well, it's also about selective enforcement. Jimmy Dore can go on YouTube anytime he wants to, and he can talk about the AstraZeneca vaccine being pulled because of the association with myocarditis and heart problems. If I say that
but
on my
can.
Channel, we can't. Now, 100%. And you know, I've been demonetized for over 4 years as well. And you know, I haven't been posting much on YouTube. I just posted a couple clips from this show and my other show, and just magically, even those clips were all in the terms of service, a couple of my other previous videos got flagged. Gee, I wonder why. I did fight those flags and wins, but it shows you how the system works. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to read a little bit of this book, The New Digital Age by Eric Schmidt, formerly of Google, and a gentleman named Jared Cohen. You won't believe what I'm about to read, but it's right here in black and white. More with Pasta Jardula after this.
Newsflash! Newsflash! Newsflash!
Now,
come on, let's go.
TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Hunter Biden's federal gun trial is set to proceed next month without delay after U.S. District Judge Mary Ellen Noreika denied a defense motion to postpone it until September. A preliminary report by the National Transportation Safety Board on May 14th supported claims that the 95,000-ton cargo ship, the Dolly, experienced repeated power losses before it crashed into Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge on March 26th.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah.
24/7, 365. We never stop sifting fact from fiction, misinformation from the truth. From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad. Listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
I got to tell you, if we're going to keep playing that Putin ad, I'm going to have to start doing some push-ups. Jokes aside, folks, and I've got plenty of them, let's talk the new digital age. Now, Pasta.
Mm-hmm.
I got the text early morning. Hey, do you want to do the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show? I thought to myself, of course I want to do that. And I want to focus on this launch of ChatGPT 4.0. Hello. The beginning of AGIs, really. These advanced AIs that are ever more human-like in the consumer arena. So I thought to myself, well, I know that that was written about in this book. But I'm just going to pick a random page. I'm going to open up a random page because you also have Schmidt's latest book, which was written with the late Henry Kissinger, all about the future of AI. It's in the title of the book. Okay. So I got two paragraphs for you. All right. I opened up the book. This is the, I didn't fish for this. This was literally what I opened the book up to. Okay.
Yeah.
First paragraph. Moreover, due to technology companies' involvement in security threats, their products are being used by terrorists. The public will eventually demand that they do more to fight against extremism, all the buzzwords. This means not only improving their products and protecting users with strict policies regarding content and security, but also taking a public stand. Ready? Just as the capitulation of MasterCard and PayPal to political pressure in the WikiLeaks saga convinced many activists that the companies took sides, inaction on the part of technology companies will be considered indefensible to some. Fairly or otherwise, emphasis on the otherwise, companies will be held responsible for destructive users of their products. Companies will reveal their personalities and core values according to how they rise to meet these challenges. Empty words will not pacify an informed public. In other words, they were talking about debanking and deplatforming and depersoning people in light of WikiLeaks. This is 2013. Let me read the second paragraph that's the follow-up in regards to YouTube, literally.
Oh boy. Yeah, go ahead.
We can see steps in this direction as some companies make clear statements in policy or procedure. At YouTube, there is a challenge of there's the challenge of content value. With more than 4 billion videos viewed daily and 60 hours of video uploaded each minute, it's exponentially gone up, folks. It is impossible for the company to screen that content for what is considered inappropriate material, like advocating terrorism. It's always terrorism in the beginning, everybody. Instead, YouTube relies on a process in which users flag content they consider inappropriate. The video in question goes to a YouTube team for review. This is all algorithms by now, by the way. And it is taken down if it violates company policies. Eventually, we will see the emergence of industry-wide standards. In other words, collusion of all the big tech companies of what's acceptable. All digital platforms will forge a common policy with respect to dangerous extremist videos online, just as they have coalesced in establishing policies governing child pornography. Yeah, they're more worried about the extremist content than they are the kiddie porn, everybody. There is a fine line between censorship and security, and we must create safeguards accordingly. The industry will work as a whole to develop software that more effectively identifies videos with terrorist content. Some of the industry may even go so far as employing speech recognition software that registers keys of string words, strings of keywords, or facial recognition software that identifies known terrorists. So that's like the next step.
Isn't it funny, Jason? Isn't it funny, though, really quickly, we have to just point out the elephant in the room, because I made a tweet today, and I didn't know you were going to talk about this when we were coming on. The way the term terrorism is used nowadays, right? It's almost like the right wing's version of hate speech, just another mechanism used to censor people as much as they can. And we've seen a lot of language like this from, Mr. Schmidt over here, ex-president of Alphabet or Google, or I get him mixed up. I think he was head of Alphabet at one point, right? I mean,
he was.
We saw right after Davos. I can't remember where, but it was like the Middle Eastern version of the Great Reset, people coming together.
And it was the World Government Forum in Dubai.
Yes. And Klaus Schwab was pretty much doing the same that Mr. Schmidt is doing here, directing the companies, directing those underneath the ruling class to make sure that they censor people, that if they don't act accordingly, they will be receiving some punishment. So in other words, get your best version of Nina Jankowicz out there and start slashing and demonetizing people. Otherwise, you will have a price to pay. And that's the people who control these platforms, Jason.
Absolutely. And again, they showed you their hand, and he even writes about it when they talked about WikiLeaks, which was a organization that had and still does have 100% reality rate. In other words, they never put out fake information. And he even says, fairly or otherwise, we're basically going to censor content. And what, under the guise of terrorism and extremism? They've come out and said it, and now they've done it, and we've all experienced it for years. The clip I played of Schmidt was actually with Kissinger before his death, where they were talking about these new AGIs, and not whether or not they were going to be conscious, but essentially what happens when they start acting on their own, and what does that mean for humanity in general, and even the use of these AGIs in society. Kissinger was actually pretty stark, saying it changes the very nature of reality. Got about a minute left in the segment. What is the reality we should be focusing on in this big tech censorship regard?
Well, I think we, the people, have to concentrate on what's really necessary for us to move along. I mean, the AI situation is something completely different, that when it does start thinking for itself, because right now it's just following orders. It's just a weapon used by the ruling class to weed out those who are dissenting against the machine. If it starts thinking for itself and it turns inward, forget about it. But right now, we need to stop getting caught with these red herrings, just understanding that Rumble suing Google is more about we needing to see transparency, the algorithms, the way these systems operate, the way our voices are dictated, and the narrative that's being controlled by the ruling class. We need to push back against that and understand what's going on, that we need to understand, we have to have transparency when it comes to the public square, and we don't have that.
Not only don't we have it, they are now launching chief AI officers in all these arenas that have security clearances. They report to the federal government, and the only non-companies entities that are subject to not being audited are the Defense Department and the intelligence communities, which will continue to, get that iron fist, that grasp on this technology that should be open source and available to the rest of us. Mr. Jardula, thank you so much. We got to take a break. Final segment of the show. 2 hours flies by like that. We got Steve Poikonen of AM Wake Up and Slow News Day coming up. We're going to be talking about Assange and more. You're not going to want to miss it. Final segment of the show and more TNT after this.
Here's a bushfire fact. Bushfires can occur without warning. So if you're traveling during bushfire season, here are three simple steps to remember. 1. Check the fire danger rating before you go. The higher the fire danger rating, the more dangerous the conditions. It may be safer to replan your trip. 2. Think about the area you're going to and what you would do if a fire started. How would you escape the area if you needed to? And where would you go? Check if there's a neighborhood safer place. 3. It's dangerous to drive through smoke or fire. If you can't find a way to avoid the fire, park in a cleared area, face the car towards the fire, and turn the engine off. Then lie on the floor and cover yourself to protect yourself from radiant heat. Live bushfire ready. For more helpful tips, visit myfireplan.com.au today.
When a crisis hits, close to home and across the globe, nonprofits are on the front lines, ready to serve. Healing. Nurturing. Rescuing. Protecting. Inspiring. The work of philanthropic organizations has never been more important. And it's donors and volunteers like you who make all this possible. Thank you. The Nonprofit Alliance.
Jason Burmis has the power of information. Today's News Talk. TNT.
We are now joined by my good buddy and the host of the AM Wake Up Show, as well as Sloan News Day. And, you know, we really began our relationship through the Action for Assange Network. And that's what brings me to Monday. We are supposed to get some kind of a judgment on whether or not Julian Assange will actually be extradited to the United States. This appeals process has been a very long and arduous one. I will say this, it's probably now, what, 3 or so years ago when we were all convinced that he was going to be expedited to the United States. And then in a stunning ruling, the judge said, no, we can't extradite him because you can't guarantee his safety. We think that he may actually be able to commit suicide under your care. The prosecution team then came back and said, oh, no, we're going to make it like when doves cry in here. Everything's going to be good as gravy. He's not going to be able to kill himself. And then we've had this litigation ensue after the judge said, you know what? You're the U.S. intelligence community. There's no reason not to trust you. Of course you'll keep him alive and reverse that decision. I think this is it, right? We are really going to hear whether or not this is going down on Monday. And some have even posited if the judge does, in fact, rule that he is to be extradited, he could be on a plane right after this weekend.
There's a couple of things that may impede that, one of which being the European Court of Human Rights could get dragged into it. However, there's a snag because the UK is no longer part of the EU. So I don't know if they necessarily have to recognize the European Court of Human Rights that has been thrown around as kind of a last-ditch effort. But here's the reality of the situation. The Biden administration is not capable of dealing with the criminal proceedings, even in espionage court, of Julian Assange right now, this close to an election where it is beyond all probability that Joe Biden will be the Democratic nominee. So there's the we could get into that in a second if you want to, but there's a real, you know, unwillingness within the administration to have one more thing that they have to deal with. The weaponized Justice Department is going after Trump like crazy. It's been trying everything they can to prevent him from running, let alone getting back into the White House. The last thing that Merrick Garland wants to do is make a decision, period. But he definitely doesn't want to make a decision about bringing Julian Assange here. I have a feeling that there are a couple of legal tricks that can be played. And I also think that Australia has been making a lot of noise, really, that not necessarily for the first time, but the first time in such numbers as to where more and more members of their government are now saying, look, we could probably deal with this a lot better than the U.S., Jason.
You know, so let's talk about a few aspects of that. Number one, there were kind of whispers whether or not they were, you know, kind of put out there by the Biden administration as a feeler to maybe garner some support, 6 months or so of a meeting with the Australian Prime Minister where he felt like maybe the Biden administration was going to soften up on this and drop the charges, et cetera. That never came into fruition. I think that you're correct that they don't necessarily want a trial during this election cycle, but I'm also shocked to learn that there are going to be debates. And I'm even more shocked to learn that supposedly these debates aren't going to have any human beings there because, again, you can't consider the press corps human at this point. So whatever puppet arena establishment media personality, Fox, CNN, or otherwise, they put up there to ask questions is far from human in my perspective. Now, one of the things that did also surprise me this week, and I'm not even sure if you saw it, I didn't send it your way, but CNN actually did a pretty damn extensive article on Julian Assange and the dangers of extraditing him to the United States. I kept waiting for the punchline, literally going through it, waiting to see where these, and it was two separate women that had written it together. They got it pretty spot on. I think they could have only gone about 5 to 10% more hardcore, especially at CNN.com. When CNN is writing extensive op-ed pieces in support of Julian Assange, maybe the tide is turning, Steve?
It would be in the benefit of CNN if that was the case. It would be to the benefit of MSNBC, the New York Times, me, you, and everybody else that does this if that was the case. We've seen in the past various mainstream outlets come out with an op-ed or two like this, and then all of the sudden they go radio silent again. The thing that I noticed about this that's different is that it's happening before the actual hearing. Usually we only get a mainstream outlet coming out and saying something after a decision has already been made. So I believe John Kerouac, you and I both know the gentleman who disclosed the torture program on CNN, and then spent 33 months in federal prison as a result of it. He's one of the people who is fairly confident that the Biden administration wants to move away from charges. So if we're seeing this kind of you know, these kinds of statements with, again, as you noted, a surprising amount of accuracy for CNN, it lends more credibility to that. And I really don't think it's in the interest of the Biden administration to have to deal with this.
So, you know, obviously we've posited before that the process was the punishment and that they really just wanted Julian Assange to die in prison. That has not come to fruition despite being in Belmarsh, which is literally like the Guantanamo Bay of the prison system in Europe. It's a very, very bad place to be. You do not want to be there. I still really feel like they want to get him over here. They want to charge him with the Espionage Act. They want that successful criminal prosecution if they can't get his death. I do think they've sent a chilling effect out there into media organizations. You know, for instance, I'm not touting the horn of James O'Keefe. I think he's got real problems. And as you know, my ex-girlfriend actually worked for Project Veritas. So I have some, you know, inside information of maybe some of the stuff that they did not put out there. But one of the most glaring cases is the Ashley Biden diary that just, you know, within the past week has now been verified by the mainstream media, despite, again, if you were looking at that situation, you knew it was real on the run-up to the 2020 election when it first came out there. But if somebody like O'Keefe, who paid $40,000 for it, can't ferret it out through Project Veritas, okay, that's a big problem. You wonder if that chilling effect did affect him. And by the way, it didn't work out for you, did it, James? No, they still sent the FBI to your house, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's why you don't play ball. And by the way, that wasn't an on-purpose leak to National File, et cetera. National File got it through, I'm just going to say, some sketchy backdoor shenanigans. And at least they had the sack to put it out there. All right. And by the way, the FBI didn't come after them. You know, they probably would have if the National File was a bigger organization, but instead they targeted O'Keefe because they didn't like him being too big for their britches, and they could manage the narrative around a rather unknown media operation. In fact, if anybody is, you know, on the peripheral that even knows about that Ashley Biden diary and what it is, they often associate it with Veritas just because of the FBI raid and don't even understand that they're not the ones that released it, despite the fact it literally has a National File watermark against every page over and over and over again. That really does show you the effectiveness of branding, and it also shows the effectiveness of the ability of the predator class to control certain narratives and suppress certain media operations, Steve. Hell, you know that firsthand.
I certainly do. And the James O'Keefe aside, the chilling effect that it's had on media in general is that we've moved away entirely from primary sources is how journalism is done. Now we're given the Twitter files and we're told that screenshots count as a primary source. Granted, those screenshots couldn't have been released to the public without the Twitter legal team doing something about it and screening what was going to Taibbi and Schellenberger and Barry Weiss of all people. But that's journalism now. People think that that's what that, and the whole concept of an organization like WikiLeaks, Cryptome, Pirate Bay, any of these are so out of the scope of reality of the vast majority of people that in terms of changing the media landscape, it without somebody like Julian Assange on the field, that operation has been wildly successful. There are people who
that's a great point.
Go ahead,
Steve. Let's hone in on Cryptome for a second, because again, even people that are kind of in this arena and in this space of alternative media don't really understand that Cryptome was an offshoot of WikiLeaks, because the founder of Cryptome also helped found WikiLeaks with Assange. And he was not in love with how much even information Assange wasn't putting out. Listen, they vetted a lot of things via WikiLeaks. We know that through the court system. Cryptome is still in action, and they constantly do put out information and raw documentation. And they've never, over the last decade and a half, even with what happened to WikiLeaks, been able to achieve the type of notoriety that they should from putting out the type of documents that they have.
They've never even received a subpoena from the U.S. government for any of this, and that's the outlet that ended up printing the unredacted Cablegate files. They've gone, to get to James Young's point, John Young, his point that Cryptome went, you know, even further beyond WikiLeaks and was a little bit, you know, confused as to why there was vastly more attention. Anybody looking at the history could tell that Julian Assange was wildly more media savvy and had his finger on the pulse of how to get information out with hashtags and things like that. He was just a different era. But Young has asked the federal government to be charged with the exact same stuff that Assange was. And they were like, yeah, no. So we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. And the whole thing is wildly interesting. But I stand by, you know, my belief that there's been a pretty successful fundamental change in the way that journalism has been done over the last several years without Julian Assange being on the playing field and without WikiLeaks in operation. And so you don't necessarily, to your point about him dying in Belmarsh or dying in a Supermax, the end goal has always been complete and total control of the internet, the filterverse of one that Assange warned about a decade ago. We're on the precipice of that with WeChat of the West as ran by Elon Musk alone.
I don't know if you've seen the new ChatGPT 4.0 hello demonstrations, but I'm telling you right now, that is going to be normalized within the next 6 months to a year. It's going to be adapted into every type of smart device you can imagine, from your phone to your speaker. And the world's going to be a very different place with this type of AI. Now, Assange was one of those people that was kind of warning about the technopolies out there and how they were integrating with the military industrial complex, especially in the suppression and aggregation of information. This is a true information war that we are currently a part of. So if they are able to bring Assange in other words, that the ruling is he's going to be extradited and that actually takes place, is that the final death blow in this country for any semblance of free speech, especially on the heels of things like this anti-Semitism bill that has been ushered through the Congress and I'm sure will pass the Senate that now criminalizes thought on a level. Mm-hmm. Look, I've said it before, Steve, you get to be a bigot in this country. You get to be a hateful, ignorant bastard that spews racist comments and thinks like an anti-Semite because you are one, because we don't have thought crimes in this country, period. You have to be able to defend the most grotesque of speech, the stuff you disagree with the most, if you want true free speech and you want a competition of real ideas. Because what's the solution to speech like that? It's better speech. It's informed speech. It's a dialectic. But they don't want that conversation. Instead, they want to criminalize those that would challenge their great narrative, no matter how absurd that narrative is, with people like Anthony Blinken on the guitar rocking out to Neil Young songs, bro.
Yeah. Right after telling everyone that there were going to be no elections in Ukraine. We're just hours before. Hey, we can't do elections until we get this whole thing sorted out. Keep on rocking in the free world, except for here, I guess, maybe. So Julian Assange has quite literally vowed that he will not be alive to face trial in the United States. Again, as you noted at the top of our conversation, that was one of the reasons that the district judge, Vanessa Beretzer, stayed his extradition in the first place, was, you know, his guarantee that he would take his own life if he was to be extradited. So in terms of whether or not that case happens, I don't think so. Like, not that way. You know, because again, we do have him saying unequivocally, I'm not going to go to court over this. So it's going to, if that's the outcome that they really want, if they were like, oh, we wanted to off him in Belmarsh and, you know, the punk stayed alive on us, then yeah, sign the order for extradition. And then we'll see if he's going to follow through on what he's promised, which is effectively the cruelest way that they could possibly make that happen.
Absolutely. Steve Poikinen, everybody. AM Wake Up and the Slow News Day Show. Steve, let everybody know where they can find your stuff.
AMWakeUpShow.com. Go there first. All other things flow through that. Get in the habit of going to the website first, everybody.
Absolutely, Steve Poikinen, and everybody. Thank you, brother. Great to see you. And great to have you guys over here at TNT Radio, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, where the truth lives. Remember this guy, it is not about left or right. Every time, it is about right and wrong. I absolutely love you guys. I'll see you tomorrow night on the flip side.